Okay, we're in a Piska Yud Bet of Enaya, Masachet Shabbat Daf Yud, and we saw last time that the Gemara talks about six different levels of people and when they eat, providing that you taste something in the morning, which is a good idea. On the other hand, you shouldn't be preoccupied with food. And we discuss how the cannibals eat right away in the first hour, and the bandits in the second hour, v'chin hala v'chin hala, and the Talmidei Chachamim in the sixth hour. And then the Gemara says, Mikan ve'elech kizorek even lechemet. If you eat after the sixth hour, in other words, you've been hungry all morning, and you delay your eating too much, it's like throwing a stone into a chemet. A chemet is literally a leather bag, which is made out of very thick leather, and they used to use it for canteens. That's brought down by Hagar and Yishmael, right? Amar Abaye, lo amran ela delo ta'imidi betzafra. The idea that it doesn't help to eat at all if you don't eat by the sixth hour, that's only talking about if you didn't eat anything in the morning. Aval ta'im midi betzafra, if you did eat something first thing in the morning, let lanba. Then it's not bad, even if you go 6 hours without eating. Then when you eat afterwards, it's not that it's going to mazik, that it's going to harm you, but it's still beneficiary. Explains Rav Kook. Hakolchot hativiim mechuvanim hema harbei l'umat tachlitam musarit. This is a very important klal, in for sure those of us here who have been learning Rav Kook for a while. Rav Kook says that the God who created nature and the God who created the ethics and the morals and the ideals is the same God. And that's why the natural world is working in cahoots together with the moral or idealistic world. Alken, ba'asher lahamit et tchunat ha'chomer mipnei ha'ruach yoter migvulo lo nachonu. If we discussed last week that a person shouldn't be so fixated on food, that that's what preoccupies him, that that's the first thing on his mind in the morning. On the other hand, don't overdo it. Don't push off food don't push off the physical needs as if it's something unnecessary. Al ken husam me'achochma Elohit onesh tivi. This is a very interesting concept. God said, God built in to the natural world natural punishments for those who don't follow the laws of nature the way they should be. Ki ha'over yoter mi'agvul u'mitacher mishalim lachomer et chuko haro'i lo acharei shekvar avru hazmanim shekavu et ha'ichur ha'tivi mitzad ha'tarbut, ha'musar, ha'echreach, ha'amal v'ruchaniyut, like we saw last week. There are more important things in life than food. And that's why it's dafka good, after you've had tasted a little something in the morning, to push off your eating and to give preference or precedence to culture, to morals, to necessity, work, and spirituality. Those are the different levels that we saw last week. On the other hand, you're right, those are more important than eating, but don't overdo it. Don't push off your food until so late that it's not going to be helpful. Somebody who doesn't eat until after the sixth hour, כבר נכנסו בגבול שנאת החיים שהוא דרך רע ומעוות. He is already crossing that red line, not of precedence, but he is expressing a disdain or a dislike, a hate for the physical world, for life. And that is something which is twisted. That is something which is bad. In other words, food is not our number one priority, but it's not only a necessity, but that's what life is about. And we love life. Right? Zachreinu lechaim melech hafetz b'chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called our King who loves life. The Torah is called the Torah Chaim. And Chazal, the Rambam, says that any time that life contradicts the Torah, life takes precedence. That's a big chidush. Right? That's what we learn from V'chai Bahem, V'lo She'yamut Bahem. Now, we all who grew up on this concept take it for granted. But anyone who's ever spoken to a Karaite, or the Shomronim out in Har Bracha, on Har Gerizim, if a woman has to give birth on Shabbat, they will not take her to a hospital. If a person has a heart attack on Shabbat, if a person has a heart attack on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. They don't have this concept, which we have from the oral law, from the Torah Shebaal Peh, the drasha of V'chai Bahem, they don't have that. In other words, the Jewish concept, and the Rambam stresses this, is that Torah does not and cannot contradict life. And that's why as soon as you overstep that red line, God instituted, built into the physical world, a natural punishment. That food which you will eat, it's not going to help you. Al ken, lo al nakle yitakenet asher ivet bekalkalat agufanit. There and therefore, at that stage, it's too late. Because you have to make sure to eat before it's too late. Because if you eat after it's too late, then it's not going to be helpful. By the way, this idea of izun, of the balance between the physical and the spiritual, is something which Rav Kook writes about a lot. In Sefer Orot, he writes that Am Yisrael has built into our nature a natural izun, that even though, inevitably, in a dynamic life, you have zigzags, sometimes you stress this a little more, then you stress that a little more, right? But it's built into the world that we need this, we need both. And you can't, inevitably, even if Am Yisrael for a certain period of time stresses only the spiritual and degrades the physical, it's just going to be a matter of time until, and that's what happened 100 years ago, when after 2,000 years in exile, where we basically were focusing only on our spirituality, the pendulum swung very clearly. The Chalutzim thought that in order to relate to physical nationalism, we have to rebel against the spirituality, against the religion. And then the Haredi community did the opposite zigzag. They zagged back, saying that, okay, if you, the two contradict, so we're going to go to spirituality. But the zigzag is always within a certain prism, and that both sides equalize each other. In the secular world, outside of Am Yisrael, you'll also have this. But if a nation overdoes their physical fixation, and they don't have spirituality, they're just going to cease to exist. Right? That's one of those. There are those that explain, I'm sure Yoshua has five other explanations, but one of the explanations is that of why eventually the Greeks and the Romans fell, is that they wanted to enjoy life, and so they hired mercenaries to do their fighting for them, until the mercenaries realized that, hey, once we're the ones who are fighting, we can overcome the Greeks also.
Machiavelli explains that exactly.
And so this is what happens when you want to enjoy life too much without the meaning, without the spirituality. Eventually, you're going to be lost from history. The same thing, the opposite. Some are a nation or a people or a cult who just wants to be super spiritual, and they don't want to get married and have children. They're not going to continue. These are the type of things that are, there's a built-in into nature where if you don't have both the spiritual and the physical, you're eventually going to get lost. The secret of the eternity of the Jewish people is that we have built into us this nature to balance the two. And that's why also the mitzvot very clearly help us help guide us to harmonize the balance between the physical and the spiritual world. Yeah.
But you know, when I look at my own life and compare what I see today, especially since I came back from the Galut and Galut America, with the way I grew up 50 or 60 years ago when the State of Israel started, I must say that the balance between the spiritual and the physical was a lot healthier, and the balance was sounder then than it is now. Now we have extremes on both sides that are far stronger than half a century ago. And I wonder why, and I don't understand.
And the question is, what is going on in the Jewish people today, where we see the extremes of those who go to the spiritual extreme at the expense of the physical, and those who go to the physical extreme at the expense of the spiritual? What's happening? The answer is, eventually they're both going to realize that one without the other can't function. So on the one hand, there is a national unit which does take into account that inevitably there are going to be those who stress a little more of this, or even a lot more of this. There are those who stress a lot more of that. But that is not the natural Judaism. And that's why, if you look in the army, for example, and Bichlal in the population, the number of the religious Zionist is just going, and the influence is getting stronger and stronger in the army, in the economy, in the tikshoret, in the media, in high tech, in all the different facets of life. And because inevitably, in the end, that's what's going to be. It's like, for the same reason why there are more and more Haredim who are serving in the army. It could be for a lot of different reasons. Maybe they want to get more bituach lumi. Why are there more and more Haredim going out to work? Because of the economic situation, because there aren't as many rich father-in-laws as there used to be. But the bottom line is that history always evens itself out. And we Jewish people always look at history in a large context. That's a mature way. That's the difference. A child always looks at the here and now. He doesn't look at what was and what will be. And a mature person, and Am Yisrael, thank God, we've been maturing over 3,000 years, we know that the way to look at life is in processes. Yeah, what do you want to say, Zana?
Just about this balance, because the whole purpose of the physical, I thought, is to, for us to tend into the spiritual. Like, the whole point of Lama Hazeh is to get through Lama Hazeh. In the same way, so although we've got this balance, really the focus isn't actually on the physical. Our focus should be on the spiritual.
In Torah to Galut, that's a predominant theme. Not in Torah to Eretz Yisrael. In Torah to Eretz Yisrael, if you look at the sources, you know, I'll just, because I don't want to, it is directly connected with our talk, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. The question is, you know, don't we find in the Musar books the idea that the goal is the spiritual and not the physical, that this world is a passing or a temporary world, and the real goal is the world to come? If you take it that stage, one stage further, even in Mesilat Yeshurim spends a lot of time on that Braita. What is the final stop? Triyat HaMetim. The final stage is not Olam HaNeshamot. It's Triyat HaMetim, where after this world, true, the soul goes up and undergoes Shichlul. How do you say?
Purification.
But in the end, it returns to the body in the physical world. And that's the ideal world, where we have the balance, the right balance between the physical and the spiritual. Okay? And that's what Eretz Yisrael is about. Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook writes in many places, is that we don't say that God made any mistakes. The physical is not a mistake. Adrabah, the idea is lit atar panui mine. There is no place void of God. And we have to reveal the godliness in our pretzels, right now before Tu B'Shvat, where the rabbis, especially in the Kabbalistic writings, write so much about the holiness, inherent holiness, of the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I'll just, on that note, I'll just mention something that I mentioned to the soldiers, that there's an interesting Bach on the tour. The tour in Siman Resh Chet, on the Luaz the Bracha V'Ale Michya, say that there are those that say ועלינו לתוכה וסמכנו בבניינה ונוכל מפריה ונזבא מטובה, that we ask that Hashem should bring us up to the land of Israel so that we can come to the Holy Land and be satiated with her fruit and enjoy her fruit. And the Torah says, Ein la omro, we should not say that. Right? Is the reason why we want to make aliyah to eat Jaffa oranges? Or to eat nice big figs? That's the reason why we want to come on aliyah? No, we want to come on aliyah for spirituality. So he says, don't say it. Take it out. The Bach says, Ma pitom, I don't understand the Torah. Hare, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is spirituality. We want to come to Eretz Yisrael for spirituality. One type of spirituality is the mitzvot. Another type of spirituality is eating the fruit which is grown on the Shekhinah. And just like the land of Israel nurses holiness from Eretz Yisrael Shel Mala, the Bach says that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael nurses Shekhinah. There is Shekhinah in the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, which is a mind-boggling concept. But that's why the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is obligated in Trumot, in Ma'asrot, in 58 agricultural mitzvot. And that's why we do say, Halacha l'ma'aseh, v'nochal mirpriya v'nizba mituva. Because, yeah, that's one of the reasons why we want to come to Eretz Yisrael, to eat of our fruit. Because that is also spiritual. By the way, I'll add on parenthetically, that the Navi, the prophet, there's a pasuk explicitly that says this concept. Right, it's not the rabbis didn't make up the idea of v'nochal mipriya, let's eat her fruit. It's a quote, I believe, from Yirmiyahu, Vavi etchem el eretz ha-karmel, I will bring you, and I brought you to the Holy Land, le'echol mipriya mituva, to eat her fruit and enjoy her goodness. It's a pasuk. One of the reasons why we came to Eretz Yisrael is for the physical greatness which is holy. Eretz asher lo techsar kol bo, the figs and the pomegranates and all that in the land of Israel, you're right, it's physical, but it is holy.
How do you understand the Gemara that says, why don't Perot Ginosar grow in Yerushalayim? Because it will be Aliyah Shlo Lishma.
We got off the topic enough. Okay, let's get it back. V'itachen she'apraot, sorry? Yeah. Ki yeshnam kochot tivim ka'ele. שהם קבועים עד גבול ידוע. וכיוון שעוברים עליהם את גבולם בעקיפין, עושים בהם שמות ופראות, מה שלא יוכל אחר כך להתקן. There are certain red lines in nature that even though God wanted to create the world in a way that even if you're sick, there's a way to get better. And the body knows how to cure itself. And even if a person has a certain bug, the body cures itself. If a person eats something which is unhealthy, the body vomits it out one way or another. If there's that basic homeostasis that we learned about in 10th grade biology, that you have a little too much or too little, the body flushes it out as long as the body is healthy. But sometimes if a person crosses a red line, he obstructs nature in such a way that there's no return. And this is one of God's ways of harta'ah, of, how do you say harta'ah? Deterring us from overdoing or underdoing something. Right? The classic example that I can think of, anyone who's worked with college-aged women has battled with the problem of anorexia. Anorexia is the most is illogical. Right, the most basic instinct of man is to eat, and without that we can't function. That's why God built in that desire to eat. Now somebody who for whatever reason wants to use their free will to overcome their healthy instinct, if you do it for a day or two or three, what's called a diet, okay, so you lose a little weight, maybe that is homeostasis if you're overweight, okay? But if you keep doing it, after a certain amount of time, God built into the world that there is a red line that you should know. Once you cross that line, you can't come back. And most anorexics really are incurable. And unfortunately, I've had anorexic students who have passed away, and that they just can't eat anymore. And it's a crazy thing. If you haven't dealt with it, you just can't understand. I still, even though I've dealt with it, I can't understand it. But that's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. Right? As long as you're living naturally, the balance of physical and spiritual and overdoing and underdoing balances itself out.
Is that true? But addictive substances then? Cigarettes,
yeah.
Whatever.
Correct. That's another good example. Right? Somebody, Gershon gives the example of somebody who addicts themselves to smoking. You know, if you do it a little, that's not going to throw you out of sync. Right? But if you overdo it, then you should know, and that's also built into nature. That God says, don't think that you can always come back. Tshuva, the general message is, tshuva you can do. Tshuva, the possibility of fixing that which you made a mistake, is there. But it's always good to know that Ha'omer echtev v'ashuv, echtev v'ashuv, lo misafkim v'yado lasot tshuva. Somebody who says, okay, I'll sin, I'll overdo it, in the end I'll do tshuva. You should know, no. There is a red line, and that's what it's there for, to deter you so that you don't get onto that slippery slope where you just can't. Now, you all see where Rav Kook is going with his Gemara. That's why the Gemara says that it's good not to eat the first thing in the morning. On the other hand, after a certain point, even if you want to then make up that food, that meal which you skipped, it's too late.
How do Tanit Sha'ot work? Tanit Sha'ot.
Let's try and keep the questions to a minimum. V'yitachin she'apra'ot ha'gufiyot ha'ba'ot mi'ichur ha'achila yoter harbe va'ala sidra kavua. Again, somebody who she'apra'ot ha'gufiyot, the physical difficulties, mi'ichur ha'achila, which stem from pushing off a meal, yoter harbe, too much, va'al sidra kavua, leaving the natural seder, the natural way of life. Kevan she'avrad gvula kvar asta et kilkuleha. Here Rav Kook is tying it in with the Gemara that we already tied in. V'ulai lo tosif od kilkul b'oto yom. And even though it might not be too late on that particular day, afal pi she'yargish adam chalishut nosefet b'ichur ha'sha'ot, he feels that by pushing off his meal, he feels weak. And he'll say, okay, so I'll eat later on and I'll fix that which I missed. Zulat bitchaber choli miyuchad laguf, aval advarim amurim al pi azdarim haneotim laguf barim mitnaheg bezdarav hativim. Again, as long as in general you're acting according to the natural laws of life, if you miss once, twice, again, nature or God will soleach, will forgive. Okay. Omnam, b'detayim midi betzafra. If you did eat something in the morning, more ki lo sinata chayim hi shegarma lo ichuro, kim sibot pratiot shonot. Here Rav Kook explains nicely what the Gemara says, that if you ate something in the morning, first thing in the morning, then it doesn't make a difference even if you push off your meal 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. What's the symbolism here? It shows that the fact that you ate something in the morning, it's not that you have something against life. It's not a matter of principle. It's not an ideology that you've built for yourself, but technical problems. You were too busy with this or that, and that's why you weren't able to eat. But it's not like you hate life. Therefore, the natural punishment that we said, that if you push it off too much, your food, your meal won't even help you, that doesn't apply when you did eat something in the morning. Here Rav Kook adds parenthetically what sometimes will cause people to hate life, and that is lack of tolerance, of patience. People are impatient. They want to get into their learning. They want to get into their spirituality. And they forget the fact that God did not want us to be angels. Right? We learned last year, if you remember, in Mamarei Re'iya, that Rav Kook stresses that there's only one Yom Kippur a year where we pretend to be angels. Because it's pretending. It's not real. That's not us. It's good to do it once a year as like a shock treatment to take us to, like we said before, in that zigzag of normality, sometimes to go to a temporary, a one-time, where you know that it's a one-time shot, to go to an extreme. On the other hand, what is the last mitzvah of Hilchot Yom Kippur? Go and build a sukkah. Right? Return to Zman Simchatenu. Return to the happy, healthy life. Vine, mitzad ha-mabat ha-tiv'i, ha-ma'achal kesh-nichnas beguf po'el hu et pu'lato ala itztomka, lo'orora limlechet ha-ikul, u'mimena totsa'ot lebriyut ha-guf v'chezkato. U'kli ha-ikul po'alim ala ma'achal lo'ofcho le-mazon ha-ra'ui. The way that God created the world is that there are two acts in the digestive system. One takes into account the food, the other is the digestion itself. Okay? Again, v'nei mitzad ha-mabat ha-tivi. When we look at the way nature works, ha-ma'achal kishenichnas beguf, when food enters the body, po'elu et pu'ulato ala ha-itztumka, it activates the stomach in a way. In other words, how do the juices, the acids in the stomach work? As soon as it feels and smells, remember Pavlov and the dogs, right? As soon as you smell the food coming, your salivary glands, your digestive system already starts working. The stomach starts feeling the food. It starts excreting those acids to digest the food. To awaken in the stomach, the digestive system. And the outcome is a happy and healthy and sound and strong body. And the digestive system breaks down that food in a natural way and turns it, divides it up into vitamins and minerals, divides it among the body, sends it to where it has to go in the most healthy, natural, godly way. Omnam, kasher yavur hazman ativi. But if you wait too long, you fasted half a day, ta'anit shot, techelash ha-pe'ula bein mitzad ha-ma'achal bein mitzad kli ha-ikul. Here Rav Kook, you see where he's going, he's beginning to relate to the mashal of the even and the chemet. That when you eat too late, it's like throwing a rock into hard leather. The rock symbolizes the food. The chemet symbolizes the stomach or the digestive system. Okay, your Rav Kook is relating to both sides of the allegory. When you pass the natural time, techelash ha-pu'ula ben mitzad ha-ma'achal, something interesting, that I read this a couple times before I caught it, Rav Kook says that God built into food a nature also, that when food is not fresh, it also loses its healthiness, its juiciness, its fragrance, its vitamins, its minerals, right? Today, Baruch Hashem, we have refrigerators that can keep the process going longer. But still, eventually, the longer you keep food around, you're delaying its helpfulness. And ad kere kach, that eventually, it's going to turn into a rock. That's the symbolism of the rock. Yeah?
But is that what Rav Kook is talking about? That he's assuming that when a person is delaying eating more than 6 hours, that the food is ready in the first hour?
It's obviously the whole thing, this whole book is talking symbolically. And the idea is that when you push off the food, it really doesn't make a difference. He doesn't care whether you have a refrigerator or you don't have a refrigerator. If we're talking, the general idea is that food, just as the body loses out if you don't eat on time, the food also loses out if you don't eat on time. Okay? Bein mitzad ha-ma'achal, bein mitzad kli ha-ikul. Right? If a person is hungry and your stomach starts growling, that's not a good sign. Right? God built that into our nature. Hama'achal lo ye'od b'kocho le'orer et kli ha-ikul le'melachtam. Right? How does the digestive system work? Like we said before, Pavlov and the dogs, when you smell the smell, that activates your salivary glands, right? It starts getting to work. But if the food is left out, and you push off your meal, then that also is going to affect the digestive system.
From what you said just now, it seems if I...
Not Pavlov, right, because that's where he trained him. But when Bichlal, when we smell food, we salivate.
Okay, I'm not sure if it's right to put into brisket terms, but if we're talking about Chefza and Gavra, if we could... So you're saying just now, basically the machal here is the chefetz and the marechet ha'ikul is like the gavra here.
Right.
But it's possible that we could be talking both mitzvah and gavra, because where I'd say that it's like you said, with someone anorexic, the longer they leave it off from eating, so the food itself loses attraction to them, even if the food's good and fresh, but they don't want to eat anymore. If someone delays eating, like you offer them the food and they've been eating for a long time, even the food is less attractive, so then they don't...
True.
Is that possible?
Okay. Gershon points out, just for the summary, that when a person gets to that anorexia or something like that, the natural system of being attracted to food also gets thrown out of sync. And it affects the digestive of the person as well. Okay? Vayala Evan. That food, getting back to Rav Kook is talking about the food which loses its fragrance and juiciness and minerals, and it turns into a rock. That's the allegory of the rock. Not a food that excites and that awakens in the body natural mazon, tizuna is nourishment. Nutrition, nourishment. Also the body. Again. Here Rav Kook gives us the symbolism that we saw coming, right? The rock is the food, and the chemet is that we turn our stomach or our body into that hard leather, which this isn't helpful and this isn't helpful.
There's something, two things that are alive, something alive becomes sort of dead.
Yeah, something that alive turns sort of dead. Yes, okay. V'yesh koach ha-moshech ha-na'im u-mekubal l'kasher ha-ma'achal. Sorry, I skipped. Ha-yu kachem et ha-bilti po-odot ha-revenu mula ve-tachat. Thank you. Tachat asher yachas ha-ma'achal ha-mezin el guf ha-mazon hu yachas tivi. As opposed to the natural situation where the body accepts food willingly when it's done in the right time, in the right proportion, everything goes natural and godly. Remember, natural is always godly. V'yesh koach ha-moshech ha-na'im u-mekubal l'kasher ha-ma'achal im ha-kelim ha-mekablim oto b'lo shum hitnagdut. When a person is healthy, he doesn't need to whet his appetite. From the story of Shmuel, of Amnon, who pretended that he was sick and that he didn't have an appetite, so he said, make the pancakes in front of me to get my appetite going. That's not a natural situation. The same thing with the digestive system. A person's digestive system should work without a need for laxatives, without a need to loosen the system or to harden the system. In other words, that's when a person is eating properly, and that's a Rambam that we saw last year, that says that most of the bad in the world and most of the sickness in the world is caused by things that a person does to himself, by overdoing something or underdoing something, or in our case, playing with the natural, healthy food and digestive system. In other words, you shouldn't need laxatives, you shouldn't need Pepto-Bismol, you shouldn't need any of these outside factors when you're healthy. Omnam, bavur hazman, when you push off your eating too late, the hafraot ha-tiviot kvar pa'alu l'ra'a ala gufa yotze miseder tivo, and you're already pushing it, as kasher gam yekabel ma'achal acharei zmano, then even when you do sit down to eat after the proper time, lo yelo oto hayachas ha-tivi ha-mekasher et ha-ma'achal im klei ha-ikul b'kibul tivi, shekol inyanei ha-teva him nochim v'ne'imim. You won't have that pleasant, easy interaction, healthy interaction between the food and the body. Ve'en sarich lehem koach machriach michutz lehem. You won't need that artificial, any kind of artificial outside action. Omnam. Pavor hazman sarich koach machriach. When you pass the time, you need an extra push. Vahainu melitzat hazrika. Here Rav Kook relates to the third aspect of the Mashal, which I admit that I didn't even realize. Because when I first read the Gemara, I thought of the Mashal of the rock. Rav Kook explained also the Mashal of the Chemet. Here he's dealing with the third aspect of the Mashal, that it's not that you're dropping, right? If a person takes an object and you let go, it drops. What does the Gemara say?
Throwing.
You're throwing it down. That is an artificial push.
Force.
An artificial force that shouldn't be there.
You're stuffing yourself.
Yeah. Right? My father-in-law, Alav HaShalom, used to tell the story of after he had a friend who was in hiding. They were hiding during the Holocaust. And, they had a little food, a meager food here or there, whatever they could get, whatever they could smuggle, whatever they could barter. And his friend got a job in a pickle factory. And he had non-Jewish papers, and, he was delighted, and he was bragging, hey, I got food, and I got this job. And on the first day, he ate so much, and he got sick, and he died. Just by that sudden overeating.
It was pickles.
And I heard that after the war, in a lot of the DP camps and the Red Cross camps, and people just after not eating for so long, and all of a sudden you get that, you throw in a lot of food, you just got sick. Okay? And this is the melitza, the allegory of the throwing. Artificial. Remember by Rav Kook, just as natural is godly, artificial is the opposite. Now, God did create man with the creativity to be able to invent artificial things when we come up short, after we overdo or underdo something. So God gave man the wisdom to come up with laxatives, to come up with medicine. But somebody who lives their whole life, and I'm sure most of you know people who
live on pills.
They're like two, right, people who just live on pills. And, they go from one problem to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And their whole life is zigzagging between problems rather than just being healthy in the first place. This parallels to the contra, the opposite, opposing the koach, the natural drive, the natural process, hamit kabel she'en tzarich shum hitgabrut, that you don't need to push, you don't have to force things, let things be natural. Ki ma'asei hateva bilti mekulkal nochim ve'yesharim hem. Here Rav Kook says it in a nice quotable quote. The ways of nature, when they're not twisted, when they're not corrupted, when they're not adulterated, they're pleasant and they're straight. Kol orchot Hashem chesed ve'emet. Here Rav Kook is quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, and he's giving a beautiful explanation. All of the ways of God, i.e. all of the things that God put into the nature in our world, that's what we know of God, they are chesed and emet. They are also kindness and they're also true. They're good. Don't play with nature. Regarding anything, I think I mentioned once, last year when we were discussing education, I mentioned my father, he was a very famous and successful educator in America with all the different kinds of prizes, and so we invited him once to the school here to give a seminar to the teachers. So my father said to me, I'm very happy to come and help out, just you should know that my philosophy is one sentence. So don't leave me too much time. Or most of the time will be questions and answers, but So I was curious. I said, what's the sentence of your philosophy? So he says, my educational philosophy is just to tell teachers, don't ruin it. Kids are good. They're curious. Let them be natural. Let them be themselves. They're energetic. They're truthful. They're idealistic. They're curious. Just let them be their godly, natural self. Okay? And don't adulterate them. And that's the problem with many adults, that we adulterate and we lose that freshness that we had when our neshama was fresh from the oven, fresh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same thing with the digestive system. The whole world is based on kindness and truth. The best way to live is to take advantage of the favors that God gave us, built into nature, which are also true. If you do taste something in the morning, like we said, that you're making a statement that I'm not angry at the world, it's not like I dislike the world, but I just want to eat something, and food is not one of my priorities, so I'll push it off as long as I can. HaKoach HaTivi kvar hitorer lepu'lato. Here Rav Kook talks about the digestive system, that not only did you make that ideological statement, like you said before, but once you start food, you get a little food in your system in the morning, you start the machine to run. It's starting to run. And also as far as the digestive system and the health system, you're also not going to have any problems. Then, lo yechdal miavodato v'itorerut kocho is not going to stop working, even if you push off that meal for a long time. Al yedei ichur ezeshot acharkach, even if you're going to wait many hours, several hours, al ken letlan ba. And that's the symbolism when the rabbis say that there's nothing wrong with pushing off the meal if you did eat a little in the morning. And here we have a beautiful example of how Rav Kook takes the symbolism of the Gemara, deals even with the details of the allegory, and works it out to give us another example of his Weltanschauung, of his world view, and how it applies to each and every topic in life. Today our topic was breakfast. I'd cut it. We'll explain that. Okay. The two questions. Question number one was, we were asked, what's your question again?
How does Pachachrit fit into the concept of not eating until...
Okay. In general, it's important to know the Gaonim were mitaken not to take the medical advice of Chazal and the Gemara literally. And they said that you're not allowed to follow to take the medicines that the rabbis bring, and even the Rambam himself, you know, obviously he writes a lot, he was a doctor, and he writes a lot of medical ideas, but as a doctor, he's talking about the medicine of his time. And when he writes about modern medicine, he would agree that if medicine gets that much more modern, then don't listen to what I said in the first place. And there are really two explanations in the Otsara Gaonim. Number one is that the rabbis were talking symbolically. And just like we saw today in Rav Kook, that talk about the symbolism. So too when they say that if you're sick with this sickness, take this and this medicine. The Kabbalists, if you look in the Ben Ish Chai, in his commentary on the Agarata, Ben Yehoyada, he gives a lot of symbolism also in the Zohar. They bring a lot of the symbolism of the different medicines that Chazal talk about, that they weren't talking physically, they were talking metaphorically. Number two, Tosfot explains a second aspect of Nishtanu HaTva'im. And Rav Neria Gutel wrote an entire sefer
that the physical nature changed.
Nishtanu atvayim, that the physical nature changes over time, and just like even within our lifetime, we know that there are antibiotics that used to work and don't work anymore, and certain things that used to be good for the body that just aren't anymore. And just like in nature evolves and there's evolution, so too the nature of the body is not exactly the way that it was. Look at nursing, the relationship between nursing and getting pregnant and all these things, it changes all the time. And so
that used to be good for you, the Pnei Yoshua.
Some people, I don't know if that was ever true, but they used to think that it was true. Again, Tachlis, we don't take the rabbis, we're not allowed to listen to the rabbis in terms of their advice regarding health, for the two reasons that we mentioned. Regarding the question of Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Min Urav, that says that a person has a Yetzer Hara, has an evil inclination from his Na'arut, the literal meaning of Na'arut is a teenager. And that's really when the yitzarim, when the hormones can throw a person's, that's when they kick in. And that's when a person's free will really gets into higher gear. Beforehand, and this is something that we spoke about, one of the reasons why the Tanakh doesn't skip anything, any stories that some elementary school teachers like to skip about Samson and Delilah, or Yud and Tamar, and David and Bathsheba, is because they want us to learn these stories before our hormones kick in, when we're objective, because the average 10-year-old really thinks that Samson was foolish for telling Delilah his secrets, just because she was beautiful. You know, so what? She's beautiful, but why should I tell you my secrets, right? Children are objective because they're godly. Now, when they mature, their free will goes into a higher gear where they can get to a higher level and deeper level of understanding, the good. On the other hand, in order to me'afsher, in order to, how do you say,
to
allow free will, so that's also when we have that struggle. That hormonal struggle. So it's really Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Min Urav is really from his teenagehood, and as in modern Hebrew, that's why it's called Tipesh Esrei. Teenagers are called the stupid teens.